Hello, hello, hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station and we're available online via the UK Health Radio app. Get it because it is fantastic, and also via Alexa. A really, really warm welcome to today's show. So, coming up in this week's acupuncture point, zombie mushrooms and how they can help cancer patients. We're also going to discover how acupuncture can help with cancer-related pain. Moving on from cancer now, how acupuncture can help to lift and tighten and to sculpt. Yes, we're going to be delving into the beautiful business of cosmetic acupuncture. Acupuncture for kidney stone pain, and if we're able to squeeze it in, to shoehorn it in, we're also going to be having an acupuncture class where we will be discovering all about the metal element. And if that wasn't enough, we're also going to be playing another marvellous round of Game of Themes. And if you'd like to join in the tremendous fun, all you need to do is to see if you are able to connect the dots and guess the common theme that links together all of the glorious music that I'm going to be playing for you in today's show. Welcome back. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for supporting Acupuncture Point. I don't know quite why I said it like that. It's actually pronounced Acupuncture Point. So, zombie mushrooms and how these can help cancer patients. So, scientists have discovered a way to grow a cancer-healing mushroom in a lab for the first time, and this could provide a bit of a breakthrough, because previous research has demonstrated that the cordyceps fungus, which kills insects and sprouts from their bodies, hence why we're calling them sillily zombie mushrooms, they can help to kill cancer cells. But due to the mushroom's rarity in the wild, as well as difficulties in cultivating them in the lab, experts have never been able to produce it en masse and to test it on patients. Now, a team from Korea and from Egypt have figured out how to grow this mushroom using different types of insects as hosts in a controlled setting. And the research team hopes that by successfully cultivating this mushroom or fungus in the laboratory in the same way that it would grow in the wild, that scientists will be able to produce the compound cordycepin. Sorry if you're a cordyceps and I pronounce your name incorrectly. Anyway, pronounce it more effectively and economically for use as a cancer treatment. This mushrooms, it excels at infecting and killing insects. And when it infects a host, it invades and eventually replaces the host tissue. So it's been famous for creating zombie, that's in inverted commas, zombie ants, by infecting and growing through the insect's body, penetrating its muscle cells. So several days after the ant dies, the fungus sends a fruiting body out through the base of the ant's head. I know this is all becoming very, very graphic, isn't it? Turning its body into a launch pad from which it can spread further. Now, cordyceps have proven to spur the death of cancer cells, including those of ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, leukemia, and bladder cancer. And the treatment of various cancer cells with cordycepin, which is the major bioactive component in this mushroom, effectively induces cell death and slows down cancer cells, basically their cancerous properties. Isn't that interesting? A recent study back in 2017 demonstrating the use of cordyceps as a treatment for bladder cancer, it found that this mushroom induced the deaths the death rather of cancerous cells. Isn't that fascinating? I mean, we can just have a full stop there. It induced the death of cancer cells. Slightly earlier study back in 2005 investigated how cordyceps works on leukemia. It demonstrated that cancerous cells treated with an extract from cordyceps inhibited the growth of the cells, thus slowing down the spread. I think that this is really, really interesting. Cordyceps have been shown to kill off many different types of cancerous cells, and these mushrooms can also help in recovery from when you're undergoing chemotherapy and other cancer treatments. It's thought that this mushroom can help to increase the body's production of ATP, which is, you might remember from your biology GCSE, it's an essential compound for delivering energy to the muscles. I think that this is really, really interesting work, and hopefully more people will benefit from this treatment, and for all of the doors that are opening with the results of studies. Hello there, hello there, hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are, as you know, at your global feel-good station. We would love it if you would connect with us. We're splashed across social media, so please do connect and follow us and like us, because in this way we're able to share our message of positivity, light and hope throughout the world. So I wanted now to talk about some really interesting words that are coming out more and more and more. Basically, acupuncture is now being considered as a worthwhile approach to decrease cancer-related pain. Now, over the past several years, so many studies have demonstrated that acupuncture may reduce chronic pain in cancer survivors and can lead to a reduction in the use of painkillers. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with my lips today. And now, several leading cancer organisations recommend acupuncture to manage breast cancer-related pain. So, a Dr. Dawn Hirschman, who is a professor of medicine and director of the breast oncology and co-leader of the Cancer Population Science Programme, gosh, that's a long title, says that acupuncture has the biggest research base of integrative methods in terms of improving pain, because it dates back many years, centuries in fact, in terms of being an effective treatment while having side effects that are quite manageable. I think this is really, really exciting. A recent study led by this scientist back in 2021 demonstrated that more than half of patients with early stage breast cancer basically saw a meaningful decrease in pain after undergoing a series of acupuncture. So that was 12 weeks of acupuncture treatment. More recently, in September of this year, the Society for Integrative Oncology and the American Society of Clinical Oncology, they updated their guidelines for cancer-related pain to strongly recommend acupuncture for patients with breast cancer and those who are experiencing joint pain related to their treatment. I think that this is really, really interesting, particularly at this time in our lifetimes when we're trying to reduce the amount of pain-killing medication that we take. And I feel really, really pleased about that. Now, if this applies for you and you're looking for an acupuncture practitioner of repute, I would highly recommend that you see a member of my association. That's if you're in the UK. I'm a member of, and in fact a member of, the working board of the AAC, the Association of Acupuncture Clinicians. Our members have had a minimum of 3 years of training. We undergo ongoing training. We're super, super safe, and we know what we are doing. So that would be a first port of call. If you're looking around for an acupuncturist anywhere else in the world, just ask your practitioner how much training they've had. Are they insured, and are they a member of a governing body? And then I would also recommend that you have a conversation with them. So you actually talk to them, find out about the way in which they work. Some practitioners talk an awful lot. You won't be surprised to hear that I talk an awful lot during my treatments. Others are a lot more minimal and don't say as much. So just try to gauge the right sort of person for you.
UK Health Radio Podcast is the world's leading health conversation starter. 47 experts showcase all options of sickness prevention through lifestyle changes such as nutrition, reducing stress, sleep, breathing correctly, spending time in nature, meditation, fasting, as well as cultivating an attitude of gratitude and mindfulness. Our experts inform and animate you to take responsibility for your own health and well-being. You can choose from 42 weekly podcast episodes and be an active part of your health freedom. UK Health Radio Podcast, here for you and your well-being.
So I wanted now to talk to you a little bit about how acupuncture can help to lift, tighten and sculpt. Yes, we are talking now about the natural alternative to Botox that instantly boosts collagen. Yes, facial acupuncture. I love facial acupuncture treatment. I really, really do. Partly because I'm extremely vain. You know, when you've been an acupuncturist for as long as I have been, I've been in the biz now for 20 years. Isn't that incredible? And I still love it whenever I see a brand new patient and they look at me and go, well, you know, you've not really been doing it that long. And I said, no, I've been doing it for ages. And they can't quite believe that I'm as aged as I am. And basically, I put this down to a combination of I'm lucky, but also because I do facial acupuncture on myself quite regularly. And for me, it is a great way to reverse or to slow down the aging process. I'm not really a big believer in squirting my face full of awful things. You know, that's a bit foul, I think, for me. But instead, I insert some acupuncture needles into my face and also into the face of my patients. But let's talk about me now. So into my face, particularly around areas that are a little bit lined. So I've got one line that goes up the middle of my eyebrows, and also I've got lines at many people between the corner of my nose and the corner of my mouth. So I just pop some needles into there and also into some other specific parts of my face, and these are super, super ultra fine ones. And basically what happens is we're creating micro injuries to your face, and because of this my skin goes into repair mode, so sending more blood and more just more goodies to the surface of the skin, and in turn this helps to boost the production of collagen, and it results in firmer looking and plumped up skin. And what I also love about this sort of treatment is that it doesn't just work on the outside. So patients who come to see me for facial acupuncture treatments, they will feel at the end of the treatment just a sense of glowing and well, because we don't just pop needles into the face. We might put some into the wrists or into the feet. And just the general overall effect is one of lifting, separating the cheeks, as it were, basically boosting blood flow. And at the end of it, you look great. You know, when I first started out doing facial acupuncture, I had a bit of an attitude problem about doing it, because I thought, well, I've spent all of this time, you know, becoming a fine-tuned machine of healing. And what on earth am I doing? Becoming essentially a beautician. And I looked down on myself because, you know, when we're younger, we're often a bit more foolish, aren't we? And until I spoke to a very, very wise practitioner, the late and very, very great facial reading expert called Lillian Pearl Bridges. And she said to me, well, how about this, Kevin? If you are making somebody feel better because they look better, aren't you actually raising their spirits? And isn't that one of the most wonderful things to do? And I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. So, yes, basically, that's my little reminisce and discussion about facial acupuncture. It really is wonderful. And I think possibly a little bit less nasty than squirting your face full of all of those, well, frankly, horrible things that people do. Hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgent here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel good station with over 1.4 million listeners every single week. So to each and every one of you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your appreciated support. Now, according to a recent study, acupuncture may be useful in relieving kidney stone pain in patients who are seeking care in an emergency department. Gosh, that's very specific, isn't it? So in a randomized controlled trial that looked at 80 patients who were seeking care for kidney stone pain, basically they demonstrated that people who received acupuncture just had a significantly decreased amount of pain compared with those who just received standard care. The findings of this randomized control study suggest that acupuncture combined with a standard care is safe and provides fast and substantial pain relief for patients with renal colic compared to those who receive sham acupuncture in the emergency setting. I think that that's really, really exciting, don't you? I mean, I find all of these things relating to acupuncture quite exciting. Now, did you know this is one of my favourite things to talk about. I'm extremely sad when it comes to acupuncture stuff. But did you know that one of the best ways in which to dislodge a kidney stone? Well, you go up to a very, very rickety roller coaster. And by the time you get down to the bottom, out will several of these kidney stones have popped. Now, you might be thinking, what on earth has this got to do with Chinese medicine? Well, let me explain. According to Chinese medicine, the organs of the bladder and the kidney, they are associated with a particular season and a particular element. The season that they are associated with is the season of winter. And the element that they are associated with is the element of water. Now, for various reasons, there are different colours, energies associated with the element of water. And the emotion that is attached to it is that of fear. So let's go back. Imagine, what emotion are you feeling when you go up to the top of a roller coaster? Exactly. You're practically wetting yourself. Now, according to five element acupuncture, which is the system of acupuncture that I practice, we are all part of a continuum of nature and the movement of energy that sustains all life. It's based on the cycle of nature, and we can observe this in the seasons. Now, each season has an energetic quality that also exists within each of us. So our health and well-being, it's a reflection of staying balanced with the energy of each changing season. Now, I now want to bring us back to acupuncture school for this last item, because I want to talk about this season that we're currently in here in the UK, which is the season of autumn. And I want to talk about this season in terms of five element acupuncture, and to also discuss a little bit along the way the metal element. So what is the season of autumn? Well, in this season, everything approaches the end, the completion. If we look around, if we go for a walk in the park, we will notice that the leaves, they change colour and they fall to the ground. And when we walk on them, crunch, crunch, crunch. And this reflects the passage of time. Autumn, it reflects the rhythm of life's transitions, including the cycles of being born and dying, the end of the cycle. So how does this relate to us? Well, this season, it's a time for us to conserve our energy and to store what will nourish our body and mind throughout the coming winter. So with that in mind, it's a time to acknowledge the quality of our lives, and it's a time to reflect on our purpose, why we're here, our sense of self-worth and self-respect, and what our lives mean to us. So this season is associated with metal, the metal element, and the organs of this element, they are the lungs and the large intestine. Essentially, they're two sides of a very similar coin. So the lungs take in and the large intestine lets go. So our lungs, as we breathe in, it receives the pure chi, the pure energy from the heavens. And when we breathe in, we can feel this connection to what's greater than us, our inspiration. And you'll be very glad to hear that I'm not going to be doing sound effects for this. The large intestine is our great eliminator, because it's in charge of letting go of all of our waste. And as one exhales, we can also let go of anything that's no longer of any value to our body and our mind. So this season, it's a time for us to take stock of our lives and to let go of any patterns that no longer serve us. The emotion associated with this element is grief, because this season, it allows us a time to reflect on how letting go and loss is a natural part of our life.